Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio's Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna. Welcome back, Dr. Hanna.
Thanks for having me.
We're in episode number 5.
It is.
And we're going to talk about what we might think of as exotics. We're going to talk about tortoises, bearded dragons, geckos, and ferrets. So this is quite a collection we got here.
It is, and it's all owned by one person, my coworker, Elena.
Welcome, Elena.
Hello.
And Dr. Edie, will you lead us in a word of prayer?
I sure will. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings you have bestowed upon us, for the opportunities you have given us, for your creation, Lord, for these animals that have enriched our lives. I ask that you please continue to bless us, continue to watch over us, continue to help us care for these animals. And one day, Lord, we will see how you came up with the imagination to create these. And I ask that you please remember them, Lord, that we love them so much, and that when we lose them, it hurts very, very much. And we know that you count every tear. And Lord, these creatures are special to us, and help us to treat them well. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Hanna, what is the difference between the domestic animals, cats and dogs, and these exotics?
Well, there's quite a bit. Dogs and cats, you can get them for free just about anywhere, and their care is not as extensive as owning an exotic. An exotic pet really should have very distinct care from its environment, to its food, to its handling. Everything is very, very particular. And one incident of not providing the right protocol can really be detrimental to their life.
So I'm guessing what I'm hearing you say is you flying by the seat of your pants is not the way to deal with exotics.
Absolutely not. You should not just go to the pet store and decide, oh, I'm going to, you know, get a bearded dragon, or in this case, what's in front of me is a sulcata tortoise, which I don't think they're even in pet stores. Okay. So you can't just make that decision at the last minute. This is something that's extremely thought-provoking for quite some time. You have to plan ahead. And most importantly, you have to really have the proper everything, not only finances, but the time, the resources, the commitment. Oh my goodness, the commitment. So make sure that you really are doing your diligent research on these.
And just to bring out a point with domestics, we've learned through these previous programs that you can look up at strongtowerradio.org on our audio archives that pet care, domestics, are more intensive, more expensive than most people realize.
Yes, that is true.
And then you add this extra layer on this. So, Elena, we need to talk to you about, you selected this particular tortoise. How did you decide to choose this particular pet?
Well, I particularly like this pet because of their size that they get. I do like the
biggest. You like big pets.
I do.
How big does this pet get?
He can get up to 200 pounds, depending, 150 to 200, and about 2 to 3 feet long.
Have we mentioned this is a sulcata tortoise, and it's also known as an African spurred tortoise. So we are looking at the cutest little thing right now. It is about the half, take a baseball and cut it in half and stick a little 4 feet on them and a head and a tail, and that's what you got right in front of you. I think this thing is so precious, but I just want to make sure we are understanding what we're looking at is the sulcata tortoise.
So this tortoise is only about 2 inches. The feet is the full grown size, and about maybe up to 3 inches long, and a height of about 1.5 inches tall. It's earth tones, of almost a brownish yellow to all the way to dark. It has these little, are they called spikes or pyramids?
Spurs. The spurs are on the leg, and then these are like supposed to be, they're not pyramids necessarily because he's not in bad health, but they can be.
But there's these little spots that are geometric, and they go around the sides. He has a stripe that goes on either side, and then one right over the top in the middle. Just, and this guy's quite an active one, but we understand that you got it from a veterinarian.
I got it from a rescue, actually.
Rescue?
Yes. I took him to the vet because he had an upper respiratory issue, and I wanted to make sure I got a handle on that before. When I first got him, he was not moving, wasn't doing much, wouldn't eat. So I took him to the vet, got him some oral meds, which are very difficult to give, some herbivore care food for him to get. That's also, and then some eye meds. And he's obviously doing much better after a month of having him.
So if you were to, what were our normal sources? This is a rescue. But if you were to get it through a normal process, how would you get this particular?
There are breeders.
Okay.
Breeders that do all kinds of tortoises, Russian tortoises, sulcatas. Sulcatas are the most known one to people for getting, especially since they are the third largest and everybody wants the third largest sulcata or tortoise in the world. but I've always really wanted a tortoise, so that's why a rescue told me that they had one and they were willing to let me adopt it.
Now, with all pets, you should count the cost. Count the cost of time and effort and the impact it will have upon your life. And does your lifestyle coordinate with that? We've talked about that with domestic pets. This is at the next level. Who do you take this? Maybe you haven't got to this side. You've only had them for a short period of time. But who's going to watch this when you go on vacation?
My mom probably will. Okay. My mom or my dad.
Did you check with them?
they usually watch my animals for me while I'm gone.
Okay.
All of my exotics.
When they birthed you, they got all your animals too, right?
Yeah. Yes. But I was more worried about when I do pass, where is he going to go?
Because there's a reason for that.
They can live up to 150 years.
So you better stay healthy.
Yeah, I better live a long time.
to death do us part, right?
Yes.
So, this is, we touched on that. Now this one came with, how much time did you think you were going to have before this rescue takes much more time intensive activities? What did you think before did you know what you were getting into?
Not necessarily, because, you know, you think you're going to get something healthy and everybody thinks they're bringing in the perfect pet, but that's not always true. Once I realized that he was sick, I started to put in the time of soaking him every night to keep his shell nice and healthy, giving him his meds after I take him to the vet, and we are now still soaking. The vet told me that it is actually very healthy for small tortoises, baby tortoises, to get soaked every night just to keep that shell good and healthy.
Is this just straight water or is there elements in it?
It's just straight water, lukewarm water. Okay. I change it out about every 10 to 15 minutes and I give them about a half hour to 45 minutes to soak.
So you give them at least two changes of water.
Yeah.
Now, this particular pet, it's not a turtle.
No.
A turtle is known to be in the water more.
Aquatics, yeah.
So seems like soaking would be the wrong behavior.
Yes, it does seem that way, but I mean, everything needs water. And he, just because he doesn't swim in it, doesn't mean he doesn't like to lay in it. And they can't go above the rim of their shell, because then that can cause them to drown in it. And we don't want him to drown.
No, we don't. So what do you feed this turtle? Tortoise.
Tortoise, yes. They primarily eat dandelions, kale, mustard greens and collard greens, and Timothy hay is actually a big part of their diet too. You can't just give them any kind of hay, the Timothy hay, and then I think there's one other hay, but I'm not sure on that.
How do you know if it's Timothy hay?
Usually it's labeled. Oh, okay. Usually it's labeled.
Do you buy this at your pet store?
You can, or you can also, there's people that and out in the country, they do Timothy hay too.
So let's you talked about the diet and some of the care. What has been some of the most enjoyable moments you've had with this pet so far?
Honestly, just seeing him get better. He's now starting to explore more. My cats have decided that they want to take a liking to him too, which is quite funny.
So how do they interact? Explain that.
My one cat, Avar is his name. He is a Bengal mix, and he thinks it's a toy. Okay. Honestly, my other cat, who is a gray cat, I have no idea what his breed is, but he just kind of sits and observes and sniffs him real close. But my cat Riker is a little bit more shy compared to my other cat.
And how does the tortoise react to all
he
this?
He doesn't
attention?
Really care. They get in his space, he
retracts.
Yeah, he retracts back into a shell, but otherwise he doesn't really care.
Well, very good. Well, Dr. Edie, give us some thoughts on this tortoise from your observation.
All right, we'll do. And while I'm doing that, actually, Lena can get the next set ready. But so first of all, this thing really is truly adorable, Tom. I mean, I've been watching while you guys have been talking, and I just think he is so precious.
You can't take your eye off him.
I can't. You can't.
For more than one reason. One is cute.
Absolutely.
But number two is he just moves.
He is very active, and I want to make sure he doesn't fall off this table. But I have to say, when I first saw him about a month ago, he was not this active. I actually have a little video of me touching him, but he is extremely active now, which tells me that Elena has done an amazing job of trying to take care of him, and she's doing all the right things, because a happy Salcata is active, and it explores, and it has a strong appetite, it has clear eyes, and has smooth, strong movements. So I'm pretty sure that this guy is pretty happy at the moment, especially considering how he was when I first saw him about a month ago. And no, I am not her veterinarian for exotics, but it's always a blessing to learn more about these creatures, because truly, they are so unique. You really can't stop staring at it, and you see the design that God has made this, and these spikes on these legs serve such a purpose, because, you know, tortoises are natural diggers, and they can make, you know, huge holes in your yard. So
are you prepared for this?
Oh yes, I already got a plan made out.
So
we learned from Elena that they in the wild they can dig as deep as 7 feet in the ground.
It is amazing. I know, it's fascinating, but you have to remember, as they get older, they get stronger in their legs, and their legs are pretty powerful, so they are able to dig like that, and that's why they have these special ridges and stuff on their legs, because that's what's going to help them dig. But again, they can live a long time. They can reach up to 200 pounds, okay, and you more than likely will see these at the zoo. They walk around
right.
in certain areas of the zoo, but they're pretty special. So I'm fascinated by them. You got to make sure that you are feeding them correctly. Elena mentioned a few things that they are allowed to eat, but one of the things we don't want them to eat, or a couple of things, are spinach, broccoli, and cauliflower, because they have high levels of oxalic acid, and which can be very harmful for them. And you do have to make sure they have the proper calcium, because a poor diet and poor husbandry can actually cause calcium deficits.
And
so
I assume that's very important with their show.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. And it is very important for them to have the proper home, because they live inside their all they do is tuck their feet and their head in and their home, right? So they carry their home on their back, and they want to make sure that they are protected and have that in a healthy manner.
You know, another thing is that it, the importance of they like to be touched.
They do like to be touched. They actually enjoy being touched. You can rub them, and you can they will stretch out their neck if they want more rubs. They can bond with their owners. They like to rub against objects and like rocks and fences. And it's going to be very interesting to see what Elena comes up with outside when she is ready to have that outside. And I believe I did ask her, you know, because these guys can grow, you know, to 200 pounds and they live a long time. So they grow 2 to 4 inches a year. So this thing is going to be tiny for a long time.
Until about 25 years.
Well,
until about 25 years,
well,
she said.
It sounds like we're going to have a repeat visit.
That is true. That's true. But I hope Jesus comes before them. But anyway, just saying. All right, excellent. So that was the sulcata tortoise, otherwise known as the African spurred tortoise. And now we are going to move on to her crested and leopard geckos. And these things are in... And of them have, yes, this is a leopard. This is a leopard gecko. And
what color is it?
Well, right now he is shedding. So okay. Usually they're yellow and they have the color or the pattern of a leopard on them. And then he's got a little bit of gray on his tail. But he's in the process of shedding right now. So he's not doing much colors right now for us.
Yeah, he's pretty gray, gray to gray white. How long is he?
I would say about 7 inches.
And how much does this gecko weigh?
That is a question I am not sure on.
Okay. And he's moving across. He's just walked off your arms, and boy, he moves pretty fast.
Oh, yes. They are very fast. I mean, they have to be out in the wild to get away from their predators. I mean, like hawks, owls, anything like that. So they tend to hide in like burrows or stuff out in the wild. In captivity, I have a little mountain hut for him to hide in, and then I always provide fresh water and some greenery, because even though they are technically like the semi-desert stuff, they still like to have some greenery to hide in.
So what areas of the world are they native to?
Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, stuff like that.
So we don't find these around our neighborhood.
No. Mm-hmm. If you did, it's probably somebody let it outside, because unfortunately people do that.
So tell us a little bit of the history. I suspect you have a name for it.
His name's Saturn.
Saturn, okay. And yes. Tell us about Saturn's history. How did you obtain Saturn?
My cousin actually got him and decided that he no longer wanted to take care of it. So I told him that I do have room at my house that I was able to take it on. And that's how he got it. I think he had 4 homes before he got to me.
It's kind of balanced, huh?
Yes. And as far as I know, he's about 6 years old.
Okay.
My cousin had him for about 2 or 3 years and was like, never mind, I don't want him anymore. So and then I got him. I'm always the one that people are like, here, you can have my animal.
So you're kind of like a foster parent.
In a way, yes. And sometimes they just don't leave my house. I said, when it comes to reptiles, if I have the cage, I try to help as much as I can.
So how long have you had the 6-year-old Saturn?
2 years now.
2 years, okay. Mm-hmm. So 1/3 of its life.
Yes.
Have you done any research on them? You mentioned their location. How long did they live, and how big? Now, he's being 6 years old. I assume he's probably at full length.
And yes, I did used to have.
He's coming over to visit me. He's walking across my paper.
I did used to have one that was bigger than him. He passed away, unfortunately, about 2 years ago. But their lifespan in captivity can be 10 to 20 years. In the wild, it's usually 6 to 8.
Oh, so this is just the opposite of the tortoise lived longer in the wild. This one mm-hmm. lives longer in captivity.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else we should know about Saturn?
They're pretty easy. They're docile. I mean, he's a little
compared
skittish.
To a tortoise.
compared to a tortoise, no, he's not more docile than the tortoise. I would say more docile for easy keeping. Yes, they're probably like your beginner kind of lizard that you would get. A tortoise, you need a little bit more hands-on experience before you decide to get one of those, I would say. I've had leopard geckos since I was 15, so I've had a little experience with them. They definitely don't need a lot. Like, they need a basking light. Usually, I want to say 80 degrees is good for them, and not that much humidity. They do need mealworms is one of their big things that they like to eat, crickets. So if you're afraid of insects, then I don't recommend getting one, but that's what they primarily eat is the insects.
Do they ever escape and go through your insects go through the house?
Yes, crickets have gone throughout my house before.
Do you let the Saturn track them down and
take no them? I have cats for that.
Oh, okay.
I don't trust my cats with the lizards. I trust them with my sulcata, but I don't trust them with my lizards.
Wow, this is complicated.
Yes,
trying to keep the family from fighting.
Oh yes, and especially I have very high prey drive dogs, so I have to keep certain animals away from, caged up, away from the dogs and the cats. My one cat really could care less about anything, but the other cat, he was outside for 6 months of his life, so I don't know how much of his caring for it or how much hunting he likes to do.
Dr. Edie, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, this thing is not as adorable as the tortoise, but actually it's growing on me. So, you know, pretty distinct. It has, you know, a little bit of a smaller head than its body. It has a dotted body and a thick tail. And these are less likely to drop their tail, but actually their tail can grow back, even though it'll come back a little bit different. So, do you know what I mean when I say drop its tail?
Please explain.
Okay, so in certain situations, whether they're scared or whether they're trying to escape from a predator, they will literally drop their tail as if they release it from their body. Okay, so
how do they get rid of it? I mean,
whatever mechanism God had created for them to literally expel their tail from their body, they just drop it and run. And the amazing thing is that it can grow back,
yeah.
But it just grows back differently. It might be a different shaped form, but amazing. It really is amazing. And Elena has another gecko that she wants to talk about. And this one happens to be the crested gecko. So we're going to discuss that because even though they're both geckos, they still have differences, and even including their diet and including their housing. So we have to remember that even though they're called geckos, a crested gecko is different from a leopard gecko. So, but honestly, they're both very interesting.
Absolutely. Like to hear or explain the difference, their characteristics of what they look like.
This is the crested.
The other one, leopard gecko, their bumps were more pronounced. These are more fine, and this one is definitely
smoother,
yellowy, and
these guys come in all different colors.
Okay,
I couldn't tell you the name of this one. I just been calling it tan with black spots because. But they are jumpers, unlike leopard geckos. Leopard geckos like to be on the ground. They don't do a lot of jumping. These guys jump.
Yes, they just demonstrated that. It was at least about 14, 16 inches.
Yes.
And just like that.
On cue. And what's also interesting about it is you have a notebook, and he went to hide underneath the paper.
Yes. They definitely are hiders during the day and come out at night. They're nocturnal, because that's when there are less chances of actually getting eaten out in the wild is. I definitely notice a difference when lights are on versus lights are off at my house when he's in his cage. When lights are off, he's out and about, and even if I'm in the room, he's staring at me. But they don't blink. These guys don't blink. They lick their eyes to keep their eyes moist.
That must be a lot of trouble.
It's very weird to watch a lizard lick its eyes.
How frequently does it do it?
Not that frequent.
Okay.
Especially with humidity, they don't need it a lot, because these guys need higher humidity, 60 to 80%, unlike the leopard geckos where it's only like 40% that they need. And their temperature, you would think, needed to be higher, but it's only like 75 for these guys.
This is more temperate of our living temperatures.
Yes.
We keep our houses in. I also noticed that the leopard gecko seemed to have a fatter tail. It was at least a half inch thick, and where this one is more tapered. And
yes, these guys actually use their tail to help them balance with jumping. So,
okay, Dr. Eady, you're going to have to give up the gecko. All
right.
At the end of his tail, you can see
it's looks more flat. Like a snake.
Yes, it's flat though, so that when they jump, they catch it.
Prehensile.
Yeah.
So that's how they use that, and their pads on their feet are also sticky so that they can catch onto things. Unlike the leopard gecko, where they have, you know, the nails and stuff to dig.
Okay.
So completely different kind of geckos.
You got to keep your eye on this guy.
Oh yes, they are very skittish. They like to climb up as high as they can and get away from whatever is going on.
What is this crested gecko's name?
His name's Solstice.
Solstice, okay.
Yes, yes. And then I used to have his brother who was Eclipse, but I don't know what happened, but I found him dead in his cage. But he actually dropped his tail because my cat got him and scared him, so he dropped his tail, but it never grew back because they don't grow their tails back. And that was quite an experience.
That's quite an interesting difference. I mean, you have one, they're both geckos.
Right.
One can drop their tail, it can grow back, even though it's different. The other one absolutely will not grow back. But again, it's the mechanism of the fact that they will drop their tail to get away from a predator, and they can continue on with a normal life. Right. It's fascinating, tailless. Really. Yep, absolutely fascinating. So, anything else that you would like to tell us about this?
Their diet, I mean, they do eat some types of fruits. You have to be very careful about what kind of fruits they eat. And they do eat insects. But in captivity, the best thing you can do is give them a mix. It's of water and a crested gecko food. It has some types of fruits, some insects and stuff. It's the best way for them to get their food without having to hunt for it in captivity. And out in the wild, it's a lot different. Obviously, they have to hunt their food. And they like the Dubai roaches, crickets, and like I said, very limited fruits, because fruits can be too sugary for them.
You heard a little jump in Elena's voice. It's because the crested gecko did it's what it does best, and just jumped out of her hand and jumped onto her shirt. But wow, this is super. Well, you know, we're getting towards the end of this half-hour segment. Listeners, the program you're hearing is Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna. This is episode number 5. We've so far looked at a tortoise. We've looked at two geckos, a crested and a leopard gecko. We are doing this program at the Humane Society of St. Clair County, and we're at the SNAP Clinic. Stay tuned until the next time. I'm your host, Tom Majure. Bye now.
Hi folks, Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087 on Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is
proclaimed. We're back with Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna. We're at the Humane Society of St. Clair County, and we're at the SNAP Clinic. And Dr. Edie, we've just been enjoying, this is the second of two programs. We're talking about exotic animals.
Yes. Yes. Now we're getting bigger here, Tom.
Yes, bigger. How much bigger, Dr. Edie?
Probably about 10 times the size of most of the previous visitors. So we went from the sulcata tortoise to the crested and leopard geckos, and now we are on to the bearded dragon.
I've heard a lot about bearded dragons.
Well, they are pretty well known, I think. I think they're popular, very popular now to have. And actually, I'm kind of a fan. I really
am. Really?
Yes, I am. I don't think I would ever have one, but I can tell you that I'm quite the fan. And I have actually pet sat for a bearded dragon before, and I enjoyed it very much. They are special creatures, as you can see right now. It is hanging on to Elena on her shirt, and it's just literally sitting there as if it's extremely comfortable and very, very familiar. I'm assuming that this is not the first time that this has happened.
No, I take my bearded dragon out for walks on the road. So.
Okay. All right, there you have it.
So you just tell him, hang on?
Yeah, pretty much.
So this bearded dragon is about 18 inches in overall length. Its girth, that's a good word there. It's almost 3 inches across diameter, and it's also brown, a little bit more yellow, and it has four legs and a big long tail that's almost as long as its whole body, and its skin is kind of crinkly, and it has little spikes on the side, and it sounds fierce.
It may sound fierce, but actually I think they're pretty nice creatures to own. So
we have Elena here, and she's one of the staff here at the SNAP clinic, and you have several animals. You've shown three of them in the previous section. And
yeah.
This is just bigger and better.
Yes. I actually have two bearded dragons. This one is Venus. The other one is Supernova. Very different personalities.
Okay.
Venus is very docile, very social, as you can tell. She's just sitting on my shoulder. My other one is very anti-people. Does not want to be touched. Doesn't want to be interacted with. It'd rather just me feed it, look at it, and call it a day.
How often is it awake?
They actually, well, it's all on the day, like the hours of the day. So 12 hours, it's give or take. Usually when they're hunting or eating or ready to eat, as she begs me for food all the time. That's usually when they're awake. But she loves to interact with people. She likes to run on our floors when the dogs are locked up, because, again, I don't trust my dogs. Not around my exotics, at least. But they sleep most of the time. It's like half and half, I would say.
So give us kind of a rundown of the basic attributes. Its lifespan, its maximum mature size, its habitats in the wild, mm-hmm. and how you care for them domestically.
So their lifespan in captivity is usually like 8 to 10 years. In the wild, it could be at 10 to 15 years. And I want to say it's because a lot of the difference is people don't know how to care for animals when it comes to like exotics and stuff. They don't do their research on them. I always do my research on all the animals. That's why they always look pretty healthy, I would say.
How do you do your research?
I always go to like experts that have had them for a long time. I will watch YouTube videos that people have done it. I will go into .gov if there's available. I do a lot of research. I've done it with all of my animals, because I want to know what I'm getting myself into at the end of the day.
Dr. Hannah, I think that's an awesome attitude.
Absolutely. I am so grateful that she does this, because she sets an example of what a person should do when they are trying to get these odd creatures other than a cat and a dog. Even though you should do your research on a cat and a dog as well, but these are very particular, because honestly, one mistake can end their life.
Literally.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
I think that we were caretaking one, and I think it got sick, and I don't remember if it died, but it's scary, and you just don't hand them off to just about anybody.
No, you don't. And even when I was pet sitting, I actually pet sat for a professor at Michigan State when I was there, and she had a bearded dragon and she had an iguana. And it was very particular. And trust me, I was extremely nervous. Mm-hmm. I really, really was. But I enjoyed it very much. And I could see how particular their care really is. And I also, doing that, I know enough, not for me, yeah, right?
That's fair, but it's also very wise.
Yes.
Tell us about the life of this particular, there's a story behind every one of your pets, Elena.
Not this one.
Not
unfortunately,
this one?
I was just
straightforward.
Just from the pet store, him and his, or her and her brother. But I know I don't usually like that, but they do like the desert savanna kind of concept. They don't need a lot of humidity either. They do like a basking spot between 95 and 105.
Bask is under a lighter
sun to them, okay. And then cooler side is usually between 75, 72. Like I said, humidity, they don't really need a lot of because they are more desert because they are central Australia is where they originate from. The diet is more, they're omnivores. So they like insects. They like some, they'll eat like small rodents. They do like kale, collard greens, stuff like that. But she mainly likes mealworms.
Okay.
Mealworms, superworms, any insect pretty much. That's where she thrives.
when she's catching her prey, is that kind of entertaining?
Yes, because their tongue comes out. It's not a snake tongue, but they're quick like a snake, you know.
Kind of
their tongue, their tongue is sticky at the end of it, so they go for it, and it's quite entertaining when you watch it. But I mean, she's kind of lazy, though, I have to admit. She wants me to feed it to her. She likes to be hand-fed from me.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so she doesn't, unless it's crickets, she will go after those because I can't hand-feed those.
And Tom, I learned something. They cannot have fireflies.
No.
So
why?
Please tell me why, Elena.
They're very toxic.
Because probably the mechanism or the chemical that makes the firefly light is toxic to them.
They contain a steroid, apparently, and even half of a firefly can actually kill them.
Wow.
So, pretty serious and pretty fascinating, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
I mean, how would you have ever known that, you know, without trial and error?
And research.
Yes, absolutely. So, quite fascinating that, you know, it's not just any insect. You really have to take particular care and providing the right foods. I know I used to feed the mealworms.
Yes,
it's fascinating. Yes. So while we're getting ready for the next segment. I'm going to talk a little bit about the rest of that. So the bearded dragons actually have a third eye located on top of their head.
Wait a minute. I want to check this
yes.
out. Is it a real eye or just
no,
a...
No, it's not a real eye.
It's not a real eye, Elena says, but they call it the third eye. It is light-sensitive organ, and it regulates the bearded dragon's circadian rhythm. So it's the sleep-wake cycle that it focuses on. So is that fascinating or what?
It sure is.
I mean, these guys are very... interesting. They can run on their hind legs. They can sprint as fast as 9 miles per hour, but it doesn't last that long. They tire out quickly.
I think I've seen videos of that.
Yes, I'm pretty sure you have, especially when they're standing on their legs and running in an awkward position. Like Elena said, a little bit like the forked tongue, but they like snakes, they use their tongue to capture fragrance molecules. Their brain perceives as fragrance rather than taste. So,
really,
again, just fascinating creatures that we have in our midst here. So, different than cats and dogs, but nonetheless, still important to God, right?
Absolutely. And I just want to repeat the fact is important. The care of these animals, and you need to know what you're getting into and buy into it up front. Well,
yes.
What Elena has left and come back, you trusted us with with your dragon, and you're exchanging that dragon for something else. Tell us all about this.
Well, Elena has brought us,
I see a couple of heads sticking out. There's just a whole, it's a sack, it's a backpack like, and these, they're not weasels, they're...
Ferrets. These are ferrets.
Okay, they're long. They're
oh my goodness.
They're skinny and long. There's three of them.
And they're like rubber. I don't know. Rubber. I mean, literally, they just hang there, dangle there, and bend wherever. So, but yes, these are ferrets, and I have actually pet sat for these guys as well. I've known a lot of people that have had owned them, and again, not something that I would own, but they're kind of fun sometimes to watch. They're very amusing. They're very playful. However, they are very high maintenance. Okay. So it is something that...
It's not for a newbie.
No, it is not. No, just like everything else, very particular care, very distinct care. They can live quite some time. Okay. So they can live up to 9 years with their proper care. And they do need to see a veterinarian on a regular basis.
Really?
So, yep. Yes, they do.
What's the frequency?
I would say at least once or twice a year. Okay. So they can develop certain medical diseases that are pretty imperative to their health. Sometimes they can get adrenal gland issues. They can get certain bacterial infections. They can get respiratory issues. So I just can't stress enough that these guys are very particular and do need very distinctive care, very careful care.
Let's describe their overall size and length. We got into the description of them, but not into their characteristics.
These guys are just over a foot long.
Yeah.
Okay, over a foot long. They're pretty lanky. They're pretty bendy. they're pretty active, as you can tell.
They're all over. We have this small 8x8 room, and yes. They're all around us.
Yes, they like to explore. I can tell you from pet sitting, they definitely like to explore. But before I hand it over to Alina, I do want to say, as for their veterinary care, they have to have a rabies vaccination. Okay, so remember that there's only one rabies vaccine that is approved in the U.S. for ferrets. So you have to make sure that you are very careful with the rabies vaccine. Also, they get something similar to a dog distemper, but they cannot have the dog distemper because they can actually get that disease from the dog distemper. So their distemper is a little bit different. Any ferrets with no vaccine history should receive a booster, and they should have some blood work probably once a year, because you, just like everything else, you want to know what normal is so that when they do become sick, you can see the difference in levels. And their kidneys and their adrenal glands are an issue in their life. So
these are, what family are they out of?
Weasels. Yeah,
weasels.
So, and then before I pass it over to Elena, who I believe is okay. Unfortunately, she just hit her head.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to be honest here.
Yes, and she was reaching, trying to get one of the ferrets, and she lifted up. And in the cat room, there's shelves everywhere.
Tom, this might be your most active program ever.
I don't know. No, Dr. Edie, when we had those four or five dogs, it was pretty active.
Okay, yeah. But, you know, anything can happen in the veterinary world, okay? But
that's why our listeners and fans love this program. It's unexpected.
Absolutely.
And people love pets. Now, I've heard about ferrets and care and so on and so forth. It seems like people, when they love ferrets, they really love ferrets.
Yeah, I've wanted ferrets like pretty much my whole life, and my mom and dad always told me no, they stink too much, which they do. If you don't clean them weekly, they do stink.
And this is not what we're in here. We're smelling. It's not bad. It's just unique.
But you can sense the smell that went from everything we've been doing previously to now. All of a sudden, there's a distinct odor in this room.
Yep. That's right.
Yes. And they're primarily carnivores, so they like to eat raw meat. I don't particularly feed them raw meat due to the fact that I'm too cautious.
Yeah.
But they have a ferret diet that they have. It's just a hard kibble. It's like cat food, but you can't feed them cat food because it doesn't have enough protein in them for them. So I feed them just the ferret diet. You have to do 2 to 3 actually different kinds of brands just in case one stops like working, I guess, is in a way. Okay. But you have to switch it up on them. I just mix it all together. I do two right now. I'm thinking about a third one, but I'm so particular about what kind of food I want to feed them because I don't want them to obviously have any issues. So it's taking me a lot of research to pick out what foods I want for them. Ferrets tend to be very curious and need a lot of space to run. So I have a room about this size at my house is what they get to run in.
So it's like a ferret room.
Pretty much.
Dedicated just to them.
Not just to them. I do have my lizards up on higher shelves in there. And then I do have one of my dog crates in there. I don't let the dogs in there while they're playing, but they do have some space in there to do so. But they love it. They go into everything, and I just let them because I'm like, whatever. You guys are happy, healthy, playing.
I don't know how to describe this, but if you look away for a little while, they're not there any longer.
No,
they're someplace
no.
else. I mean, I had they're different colors. One looks more like a raccoon mm-hmm. color, and then one was more white.
Albino. Yeah,
that's
yep.
right.
He's
albino.
An albino.
And then what's the third one? I've lost track of it.
She is actually older. I think she used to be the same color as the brown one that's coming near you. But she looks more like a sable color now with the older age that she is. She's about six years old. I got her, a lady on Facebook Market page decided that, or her family member died, and she decided that she didn't want to care for them. She gave me two. Unfortunately, I had to put one down. She became too ill after a year of me having her. Are they crawling into your bag?
It's also nibbling on some of my cables.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, they're not shy of anything.
Wants to go home with me.
Yeah, they're not shy of anything. They are curious, mischievous, but very affectionate and playful.
I see that.
Yes. They're not even afraid of my dogs, who would try to eat them if they had the chance. They think that they're friends. I have my one cat, Avar, who I mentioned earlier. He loves playing with them. He will play with them all day long if I would let him. My other cat doesn't particularly like him. He tells them to get away from him, but they are very social creatures. And you have to make sure you have the time to give them that social interaction.
So how do you do that social interaction?
I go and sit in the room with them, and I will let them play for an hour, 2 hours. I don't always sit in there like the whole time. I will sit in there for about an hour, and then I'll let them play and let my cat play with them because they just want to explore. But they love when I'm in there. They attack my feet just playfully. The big white one, his name is Polar. He gives me kisses. Mm-hmm. And then I have the other one, the brown one, which is his brother, Polar's brother. His name is Stitch. And then the other one that I got off a Facebook Market page, or a lady was looking to rehome on Facebook, her name is Zyla. And she's definitely a little bit more on the shyer side. Not that she isn't social. She's just more old, I guess is a good way to put it. She's just older. She doesn't have time for all this little boy energy. But they're a ton of fun to have. My kid loves them.
I think our listeners should, just in our tone of voice, can just see that it just, the energy just upped
yes.
when the ferrets were released.
They're
crazy. I could
crazy.
Just see this. We're just sitting here, and they're just literally climbing from pillar to post.
I would definitely say they're not a first-time owner. I used to have hamsters and gerbils, which, I mean, they're not related in any way, but I think it gave me a little bit of experience. And then, like I always do, I do all my research on them. I've been researching them for 5, 6, 7 years now to make sure that I really wanted them and make sure that I had the proper care to give to them. I definitely do. You definitely don't want them around young children. I know I have a young son, but I don't let him in the room unless I am holding him so he can't touch them because they do bite. They can bite hard, so you have to be definitely careful about that. If you don't want biting, nipping, if they get bored, they become destructive. It's like they've chewed all their stuff in their cage. But the weird thing is ferrets need 14 hours of sleep, and you wouldn't think so
with all this constant activity.
And they need to have darkness for 14 hours. So it's quite weird. Because
do you have to close the room?
I have actually a cover that goes over their cage, but if you don't give them that 14 hours, it can mess with their adrenal gland. So then I think that's what happened with my one ferret. She got adrenal disease. I got the implant that can help with it, but it only lasts about 8 to 10 months. And then once that wore off, she was like done for at that point. There was really no turning around for her, unfortunately. But yeah, 14 hours of complete darkness and sleep just to make sure that their adrenal gland can regulate. It's crazy.
Wow. What else can we learn from about these ferrets?
Well, in the wild, they don't live as long. They only live about 2 to 3 years, but they also are very curious animals. So I'm sure that they run out into roads, eagles, owls, coyotes, badgers, anything big and large like that. Even like I have to be careful in my own home because I have high prey drive dogs. They will go after them if they ever got the chance to. But they're just very interesting creatures. Hi, buddy. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're so funny. I love them.
Are there any toys or anything that they can't have?
I definitely try to stay away from stuffing because they will eat it, because that also can cause blockage.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Blockages, because it's like a dog. If a dog eats something too large for their intestines, it can't go through it. So I have to be very careful about giving them stuffing and anything along those lines that they can chew and eat, and if they can't get it out. That causes the intestinal obstructions in there, for sure.
So, what advice do you have for somebody who's considering a ferret?
Definitely do your research. No matter what, you have to do research before getting an animal. Especially with these guys, you have to know how much, like 14 hours of darkness, you have to know that. You need to know how much play time that they need. They need a lot of interaction. You have to be able to dedicate this time for them. I mean, even 2 hours seems too slim for me. Like, they should definitely have longer than that, but that's what I can offer them at this point in my life. You have to be able to be okay with biting. They're not easy to handle when you try to give them nail trims. They are wiggly little monsters. There is nothing you can do.
That is for sure. Trust me, I've been
bungee. They will try to weasel their way out of it in any aspect. They definitely do need veterinary care. Their ears can get very dirty. I do think that mine need their ears cleaned. I call them cat snakes because they're slithery like a snake, but they act like cats. That's the best way that I describe it. But they do.
They're fun.
They're just a lot of fun. They do need the veterinary care. All mine have the rabies. I haven't quite got the distemper yet. Not that I wouldn't get it for them. I just building up the courage because they have to stay for like a half a day to make sure that there's nothing wrong with it afterwards.
While she's been talking, I've been playing with one of her ferrets, and they're like little teenage brats, okay? But I don't know if you noticed, if I go to scruff his neck, see how he yawns?
Yeah, his big wide mouth.
Almost every single time they will do that. It's just whatever, I'm pinching in their top of their head, the mechanism just causes them to yawn. But it also relaxes them a little bit, which makes them more handleable.
Okay.
So as a veterinarian, because I have dealt with these before, it's been a long, long time. But as a veterinarian, when you're trying to hold them and trying to get blood from them, that is some of the best ways of holding them and getting them under control. So it's a very odd mechanism that they have where you just literally pinch the scruff of their neck and they yawn, but it's super helpful in getting blood from them and getting other services done.
Like looking at their teeth.
Yes. So like Elena said, looking at their teeth, but they do need nail trims. It's extremely important that they get their nail trims on a regular basis. Probably every 1 to 2 weeks, I recommend trimming their nails.
That's intensive.
It is. And then they do have to have their ears cleaned about once a month to remove any buildup. Ferrets can also get ear mites, okay? So if you have a cat with ear mites and they're playing, then your ferret can get ear mites. One of the biggest things is their dental care, their teeth. They use their teeth to explore their environment. In large part, they feel, especially by using their mouth and their teeth, and they have very sharp teeth, okay? So I will tell you that. But you want to make sure that you can brush ferret's teeth too. Okay. So it's and you can feed them some dry food, which may help minimize the plaque buildup. Again, do not use human toothpaste at all. You also have to make sure you groom them with their fur. So even though they are self-groomers, they can get hairballs. Okay, yeah. So the hairballs can cause vomiting and decreased appetite, so or an intestinal blockage. So they have to have special care too. You have to make sure again that you can brush them, and because any loose hair can be controlled by.
And you can't give them baths very often either. You can only give them baths at like every 6 months. As much as you want to get rid of that smell, it can dry out their skin and it can cause other issues on top of it. So you can only give them a bath like 6 months. And that's even pushing it. A lot of like experts that have had ferrets for a very long time say maybe once a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, fascinating stuff, Tom, right?
Well, we had to do exotics, didn't we, Dr. Eden?
Oh, yes, we did. I mean, I laugh because I was telling somebody about, oh, yeah, we're doing exotics, and this is the list. And they're like, ferrets are not exotic. And I'm like, well, to some people, they're going to be. They do have to have distinct care. It's not just caring for like a cat or a dog by any means.
I have to go to an exotic vet to get their care. I can't just go to a regular vet and be like, here, can you take care of this? And they're like, no, because it's different dosages. Like for flea meds, you would think the 2 to 5 pound for any flea med would be their size. No, they have to have the 5 to 9 because they have a higher tolerance to that stuff. And it's weird how their dosages are different compared to a cat or a dog. It truly mind blows me because I was like, I'm looking at this flea meds and I'm like, oh, the 2 to 5. And I'm like, no, 5 to 9. And I'm like, what? No way. I'm like, they're only 2 or 3 pounds themselves. So, wow.
The care that we have to do for our animals, I mean, God made them in a very specific way. And to get to know each animal's distinctive characteristic, I mean, we're going to be learning in heaven for eternity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, now we know why, because every creature has something that's different, you know, in its care, in its life. And I mean, she still has the bearded dragon on her shoulder, by the way.
It's quietly sitting there.
Very much so. I mean, and to stare at it and to look at all of the detailed aspects of the design of that in and of itself is just, it's just fascinating.
Absolutely.
So I can't express enough how much I love animals. I really can't. And clearly Elena does too, because she owns the majority of them in this world.
It seems like you have several people that work here that have multiple pets and are specialized in those particular pets. Where are we going to go? What do you have on your plans? Not that we've got it all figured out, but Dr. Edie, where you take us in future episodes?
Oh, Tom, I mean, if God opens the doors, I would like to visit a donkey rescue. Okay, I would also like to see some lambs and some baby goats, which are called kids, and some pigs and things like that. So I have to, you know, work on that, but God has to open the door and just extend the animal world, not just from cats and dogs, but into a huge realm of creation. So
that's the reason why we call it Creation Animal Care.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Dr. Edie Hanna. Tom Azure, your host, on location at the Humane Society of St. Clair, and we're at the SNAP Clinic for Strong Tower Radio. Until next time, God bless.
God bless.
Take care of your animals. Bye now.